for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, April 17th, 1987. Passover weekend, teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the speaker of the morning.
Praise the Lord. Can you all hear me back there? Well, I don't know how this fell my lot, but last night when we got in bed, I said to Glenn, who's speaking in the morning? He said, why, I never even thought about it. And all you preachers here, and he said, well, you do it. Well, after 46 years, when he says, you do it, I know to do it. Who said that? Are you for obedient wives? Praise the Lord. I got up early this morning, as I usually wake up very early. I don't like to go to bed late, and I don't like to sleep late. I like to get up early. So I was up early, and I was thinking about Brother Tommy's sermon last night. And so I turned to the book of Acts to read in the book of Acts. And this is where my eyes fell upon this, and I thought, well, this is not really what the Lord had given me about 2 weeks ago to speak on, but I'm going to incorporate this in since it's fresh to me this morning. Of course, you read over a lot of things year after year and in your daily reading, and in some days it just comes out at you. Where are you, Tommy? Oh, good. I hope you're back there fortifying everything back there, all you and all you ministers. Now, I'm a poor excuse for Maxwell White. He's got about 10 years on his life, more than me, but other than that, that's about all I can say. We are very sorry that he's ill, and we're very sorry that Brother Jack Harris, who is one of my very favorite ministries, I always feel so strong when he comes. When you just stand up beside him, you feel that strength of the Lord permeating out. And now he needs all of our prayers and the strength of the Lord to recuperate from this terrible flu that has really knocked him. But, you know, we all have to go through these trials and tribulations. You think deliverance preachers don't have to go through things? Oh, every day there's something it seems like to overcome. Well, let's look in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. Tommy, that was a masterpiece. I was very impressed by what you said last night about going backwards. You know, if you don't keep moving forward, you're going to start going back. Now, Peter equated that to what? The vomit of a dog and a dog going back and eating its vomit. Now, that's what backsliding is. Also, he equated it to the sow that was washed and went back to wallow in the mire. So we must beware of getting cold and lukewarm. What does the Word of God say about lukewarmness? Spew you. It makes God sick. It makes him sick, and he wants to spew you out of his mouth. That frightens me. You fear God? You fear God enough to hate evil? The fear of God, the Word of God says, is to hate evil, and we must hate evil. Now, I think most of you have come up to me, many of you have come up to me and said you came for deliverance. Now, usually we have deliverance in the afternoon. We're going to have it this morning. We're going to have it this afternoon. And we might have it tonight and in between times. We've had deliverance going on here this morning. And I praise God for deliverance. But Paul's experience here, let's start reading about, he's talking to King Agrippa. And he's reiterating what happened to him when Jesus came into his understanding and he had to be knocked down. How many of you have ever been knocked down? Well, that's what happened to Paul. 13th verse, it says, at midday, O king, King Agrippa, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This was when he was killing the Christians or trying to kill them and getting into all kinds of problems trying to straighten them up. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Paul said, who art thou, Lord? Isn't it amazing? When people know when the Lord's doing something to them, don't they? We know. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Wow. But have you ever persecuted Jesus? Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people. How many know you've got to be delivered from the people? And from the Gentiles. Glenn always reads that heathen. Unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, when you get home, you might want to go back over this. It's very powerful. It was very powerful to me. I got up, well, I always wake up about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock at the latest. I got up about a little after 5:30, and it was so cold. I got the Afghan and I went into my living room, turned on the light and wrapped up and got on my knees before the Lord. And I had my Bible. Now this is the scripture that I opened to. Now, can you see what was happening to Paul? The Lord took me back. I had long forgotten about this. I mean, I haven't really. Years ago, it was more potent in my mind than it is now. But the Lord took me back about 20 years ago, 1965, I guess it's more than 20 years ago, at a full gospel convention in Chicago. It was the first big convention we had gone to other than one or two small ones in California. And that was the first time I had ever heard a demon talk out of anyone. And that was a frightening thing to me. I grew up in the Assembly of God, Preacher's Home, 1932. We were all saved, filled with the Spirit as a family. And I grew up and I thought I had seen everything. But that was almost too much for me, to hear a demon speak out of somebody. And I didn't really know what it was. And I trembled. And I trembled. And I trembled. And I was afraid to go near Derek Prince. He was too much. And I'll never forget that night. In the middle of the night, I woke up straight up in bed and a bright light shined on me. And it was so bright that I don't know how Glenn could ever sleep through it. And it shined on me 3 times like a big searchlight. And I sat straight up in bed and was almost blinded. And I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't know, I don't know if I fully know today what it meant. But the Lord took me back to this bright light. Light, when the Bible talks about light, is knowledge, isn't it? And the Lord was starting to bring knowledge to us of deliverance. Now, that was a tremendous convention for us. Would you believe that for years, Glenn and I had not spoken in tongues? His pastor taught him at his Assembly of God church that you only have to speak in tongues once. Now, my dad had the gift of tongues like you. He could just pray in tongues all day long in different languages. And it was always a way of life for all of us to pray in tongues, even at the table. We sat down, prayed in tongues, and thanked the Lord for our food. Prayed it in many times. But after, you know, whenever you are with other people, you have to either be strong or be weak. And I was weak. I would get down to pray with Glenn, and when he didn't speak in tongues, then pretty soon I just quit speaking in tongues. And then pretty soon I was so bound I couldn't speak in tongues. Well, Oral Roberts was there, and he loosed all of us to pray in tongues. And that was my first big thing, and Glenn's first big thing that we accomplished at that convention. Conventions are wonderful. You all are going to go away different from here. I pray that you will. And then in the afternoon services, when Derek Prince came on the scene and began to teach on deliverance, and a spirit spoke out of him, that really frightened me. And then, I mean, out of the man that he was praying for. And I was so devastated that I didn't want to go in those meetings. I would stay out of them if I can. You know, I would just think of everything. I had a headache. How many know you can give yourself a headache if you want to? If you don't want to do something, you know, if you don't want to come to church, you can get a headache, a sore throat, you can think of something that can keep you away. Isn't that true? It's raining, don't want to come, or it's too hot, it's this or that. Well, I was good at doing that. And so I would stay out of those meetings, and my mother and father were up there, and Glenn's mother was up there, and we all had rooms way up high in the Hilton, and they would come up there to see why I wasn't in the meeting. Well, I really did not know why I wasn't in the meeting. I didn't know anything about evil spirits, not one thing. I used to wonder what made a deacon beat up his wife and give a message in tongues on Sunday. And that used to, but you know, we couldn't ask any questions because my folks would say, you be quiet. Don't say anything about this. So, you know, I just held it all in, and I never could figure out. And I started on my path of deliverance. And when I heard him preach, he had that little tiny book, a little tract, 25-cent tract, and I bought that, and I read it, and I knew I had everything. And I mean, I did. So I started on the path of deliverance, and it's been a long, wonderful 22 years. But this is the last thing and the last place we would ever dream of or doing was the deliverance center. But anyway, here we are, and here you are, and you have come to be helped, and I want to help you. By the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to help you. A few weeks ago, I ran onto a little article about termites. Did any of you happen to see that? It was in a Baptist paper on termites. And I cut that out, and I looked at it, and I thought, now this you can equate to evil spirits. And I took it to California with me when we went on a trip, and I read it occasionally, this little tiny article. It didn't have anything in there about evil spirits, but, you know, you can... The Holy Spirit will quicken things to you from a lot of different ways. So I came home, and one day I had all the encyclopedias out, and I told Patty, I'm studying on termites, and she looked at me like, okay. But anyway, I'm going to tell you about termites in the natural first, then I'm going to tell you about spiritual termites. Is that all right? How many want to know about termites? How many have ever had termites in their houses? You know, in California, you cannot sell a house until you have a termite inspection, and it will not be allowed to go through escrow if there's one termite in there. You've got to pay to get them taken out. The Britannica says termites are social insects. They live below the ground in concealed situations. Is that saying anything to you? They live in large societies or troops. Is that saying anything? They live secretly for years in a house or wherever they're attacking. They attack the roots of growing crops. How many know we're trees of righteousness? If we don't have good roots deep down, we won't be able to stand in the day that's coming, the day of the Lord. The encyclopedia says they have soldiers and they also have workers. And there's over 1,200 species. Some people ask me, how many demonic spirits do you think there are? And I don't know. Seems no end to them. And all of them are highly organized, these termites, in the termite world. They have a regular caste system. There's a king and there's a queen, and they operate strictly like a commune. They are never invited to a home, but usually they have a reason for coming. And I'm going to take you into some of the reasons. They can be discovered because of their destructive behavior. And we need to pray every day for the Bible says, covet the best gifts. One of the best gifts right now that we need in this end time is the gift of discerning of spirits. Amen. We need that so bad. Amen. Now I'm going to go into the spiritual termite part of it. They function just like the natural. They sneak into our lives unnoticed. We're born with them. We're born with weaknesses in our bodies. We're born with rebellion. You do not have to teach a baby to be rebellious, do you? Have you ever seen a baby that you had to teach them how to rebel? No. They aren't very old. If they don't want to be laid down, they'll buck. If they want their bottle, they'll scream. If they, you know, and then when they get a little older, they'll watch you. They study you and watch you. At least my children did, and my grandchildren. They watch you, and if they think you're not watching, they do exactly what you've just told them not to do. We're born with weaknesses for all kinds of diseases that our parents, that's in our family line. Spiritual termites work in a very subtle way, As long as they can remain hidden, they work undetected. I was thinking about the spirit of incest when I wrote this down. We had a lady here, I don't know, a year or two ago. She was in her 70s, and she had her brother had committed incest with her when she was a little girl, and she had carried that horrible thing all of her life. She was, I think, about 70, maybe older. She had carried that in her life, and that spirit had tormented her, and she hated it. She even hated men. She never married. You see how these evil spirits work underground, hiding? They invade individuals, and most of the time they'll invade a whole household, and they will damage whole churches, entire churches, when they come in. They come in through our carnal mind, these evil spirits, if we haven't inherited them. And they always, many times, come in troops. Now, we learned a long time ago from a deliverance minister years ago to bind troops. And he talked especially at that time, there was a lot of suicide troops. We've had suicide troops this year, haven't we?
Yes.
We've had all kinds of suicides in this little town. Children, two different children. I think only about 13 or 14 shot themselves. One of them was a top student. We saw all the suicides in New Jersey and in Chicago. You see, if these troops can get people and get publicity, then these other people, they'll attack everyone. They attacked all the young people then. Want them to commit suicide. There's all kinds of invasion into toys of the occult. And I think we've talked about that a lot of times around here. I want to take you pretty fast because, and then at 1:15, if you have questions, we'll go back over some of these. There's all kinds of virus troops. I sometimes think they spill all kinds of horrible germs out of airplanes, and we all catch the flu, or we catch this or catch that. Ida Mae Hammond said something recently. We were in Florida with them at a deliverance conference, and she said the reason she had cancer of the kidney, the Lord showed her. It was in her genes and chromosomes when she was born, and it came from her father water witching in Texas. He witched for water all around in all the towns. That was his business. And she said, the Lord revealed that's why she got cancer. Now, my dad used to do it, my grandparents. It was just a way of life up in northern Missouri. When we first moved here, these wells, we have a lot of wells on this ground. And a preacher came from Montana, and he told us, he said, I saw evil spirits around that well out there. This has been about probably 10 years or more ago. He said, I believe they have witched for water to get that spring. So we went out there and prayed. And not only there, we went to every well. How many wells do we have?
Seven
wells here on this ground. And we went all over the 140 acres praying over those wells and commanding the evil spirits to leave. You think we're a little crazy? No, it is important. It is important that we turn over every little clod and rock and throw these spiritual termites off of our property and out of our families. And of course, the false doctrine invaders, they invade whole churches, ministries, teaching wrong. Strife among believers in troops trying to destroy entire churches or prayer groups. And we're getting calls from all over everywhere of all these terrible problems in these churches and groups. False prophets. In Matthew 7:15, it talks about false prophets coming in and prophesying over people and telling them, giving them direction and telling them. And then we have all lovely, wonderful, true prophets. And if you tune into the Spirit, you can't just sit there placidly and never tune into what's going on in a service, or you might hear the wrong thing. You better tune in to the Holy Ghost. And tune into the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to the church? Not what is some man saying to the church. And we need to, these people worm their ways into homes. Let's look in 2 Timothy 3 and 6. 2 Timothy 3, 6. 3, 5 and 3, 6. Let's do both. Having a form of godliness, the fifth verse, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You can talk about power. I've been in lots of powerful services. I've been in lots of mighty services, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, working, speaking. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And let's go back to Galatians. Galatians 2 and 4. I hope I got Ephesians here. Galatians 2 and 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. I know there's many people here with bondages on your mind. How many here have come to get rid of bondages on your mind? Yes, all kinds of people. Bondages, that's where the enemy is fighting, warring against our minds all the time. And we need to be very careful what we read, what we listen to, and what we watch on TV, because they're after, the enemy is after our minds, and he can sway us like that. Now let's go to 2 Peter 2 and 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Have you ever heard of anybody with pernicious anemia? Their blood all just goes to water. Is that right, Doc? You're a doctor. He doctors little children, but there's a lot of people's blood. They have pernicious anemia. It's almost like a deadly thing. And these false prophets will sap you and sap you and sap you until you either die or you come against them and come against their false teaching. One thing I notice with a lot of women that we pray for, they have watched a lot of soap operas. And that brings on ideas about divorce. It's every day. Brings on ideas about divorce or infidelity, doesn't it? And the troops move in. You may think, well, I can watch that. That's not going to hurt me. Yes, it will. It will hurt me, hurt you pretty soon. It'll hurt me or hurt you. I never see those things because I'm at work all day, but I know from talking to women that want a divorce that come here, that want to leave their husbands, and maybe they have two or three little children, they want to leave. I said, what are you going to do? Well, I want to marry somebody with more, that makes more money, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. But I said, well, they'll never love your children like their own daddy does, and we have to pray against these spirits of divorce. All bad attitudes are spiritual termites. One church I know of teaches that tongues are of the devil. You know, they do. You try to get that out of people. They want the Holy Ghost, and they're afraid to speak in tongues. They're afraid it's of the devil. They have that fear, and those are hard to break. Those are powers that are hard to break. There's a lot of people think they're called to preach, and they try to go. They say that half the missionaries that are on the mission field were never called there. It used to be the thing when Glenn and I first got married, everybody was going to Africa, and a lot of people were trying to call us to Africa. Well, I just put my feet down hard, and I said, I'm not called to Africa. I do well to be called to Arkansas, much less Africa. But you know, you're supposed to check out things. You need to check out everything I'm telling you today. Check it out. The Bereans checked it out. And Paul was glad for it. Read in Acts 17 and 11. I won't turn there, but it's there. The Bereans checked out the message by the scripture.
Right.
You need to check it out. All the ministries that are telling people they can't have a demon. Well, you can figure that out if that's a spiritual termite or whatever it is. All this false doctrine. Now I'm going to go to the troops of idolatry. Do you think we have idolatry in America? Oh. I thought the worst thing in Exodus 34 tells about the golden calf, when the children of Israel danced around that golden calf and said, this is what brought us out of Egypt. I thought, how could they do that? How can people dance around an idol and not, as much as God had come down and talked to them, how could they? All these false gods, all these false cults, the Buddha, for instance, or karate. We have a new book by Morris Graham back there on karate, and there hasn't been very many things written on karate. And if you know, if your children are wanting to take karate, You ought to look that book over. He goes into it. He was into it. He knows how demonic it is. He knows how bad it is. And in Leviticus 19:4, it says, "Turn ye not unto idols." The Lord was constantly telling him, "Make no other gods. Have no other gods before me." Deuteronomy 5:7 tells about that. I went into a home once, a new home, and they had it decorated with sun gods. How many know what the sun god looks like? You know, I think Arizona and New Mexico are great for this, but this was, they're big, smiley faces. You look at that smile for a few minutes and by the spirit, and you'll see a hideous laugh on that sun god. These people build a new home. And one night while they were at church, they had these sun gods all over. They had a big one on their refrigerator and on their door and pictures and all kinds of sun gods. And they didn't know it was evil. They really didn't. But they came home one night and a great big log had rolled out of the fireplace over the tile or whatever was down there and way back on the rug. Burned a hole in the rug and they caught it just in time. And they thought, how did that log get out of there? And then a few weeks later, they went to church and the Franklin stove caught on fire and burned up in the attic, and they got home just in time to save the house. And then, one night when she was home alone, the husband was gone, she heard chains rattling. Now, this is not any hocus-pocus stuff. This really happens. Seeing faces through the window and all these demonic things, and she had to call for the elders to come. And the minute they walked in, this one man, he was telling me about it, and I'd been to the house, and I had seen those, but, you know, you get pretty tired of walking into houses and say, you should get rid of this, you should get rid of that. And so you think, well, they won't listen anyway, so they'll have to learn. All the Oriental gods and Oriental things. We were called to a very wealthy developer, one of the Full Gospel International directors' house, to pray. And another minister and his wife went with us. We were on the way to a convention. We stopped off. And the wife had furnished the whole house with Oriental things. They had pagodas, all kinds of little pagodas. Those are temples for the false god. They had Buddhas. They had a big screen with all kinds of dragons and everything on it. And this other preacher, of course, he didn't know them, so he just felt free to just spill it all out. He said, "This is what's making your husband sick." He was just waning away and waning away. And they didn't know if he had cancer or not. They didn't know. He'd just lost all kinds of weight and was just thin and pale. And so he told her. She had lamps, Oriental scrolls and all this stuff. And so this preacher, he just come right out and said, "You got to get rid of all this stuff. This is making your husband sick." And she just laughed. She said, "Well, I'm not getting rid of it." She didn't, and he died. Now, we've had a lot of experience with Buddhas in people's houses. Somebody brought a 5-year-old child here. I think they were from California. I don't remember who, where, but doctor's wife. She brought this child was a product of divorce. The daughter had married a Buddhist chanter. Now, you young people need to listen to this. You better be careful who you marry. This girl got out in the world, away from her church and everything, and married this Buddhist. They got a divorce then. We've got a lot of cases of people marrying into heathen religions. Iranians and Arabs, all over, and from India. And they're marrying these because they think they have a lot of money. How many know that a lot of money is not going to make your home happy? Never in a million years. It'll only bring you more distress. We have one girl that come here this last summer, and she calls me often for prayer, crying and pleading to do something. She married is he an Arab or Iranian?
Arab.
And he goes to the Arab temple, and he wants to take the children there, and he doesn't want her to talk anything about Jesus or teach the children any Bible story or take them to church. And this little boy, 5 years old, was forced by the courts to go visit his father. And when he came back, all of his hair had fallen out. 5-year-old child, he had thick hair, all of his hair had fallen out. He looked like Yul Brynner. Not one spear of hair on his head. He acted retarded. He wouldn't talk, and he was in a stupor. See what that'll do? See what that'll do? You know, you young people, if you pray The Lord will send you the right mate. You may have to wait a while. But you wait upon the Lord. How long did you wait? 46 years they waited to get married. Neither one of them had ever been married before. They waited. And God sent the right mate. And all of you young people, don't go out chasing the boys. And you boys, don't go out chasing the girls. Allow the Lord to send you the right mate. And you better be careful to get the right one, because marriage is a long time. It's every day for the rest of your life. The rest of your life. We had another lady that had a solid gold Buddha. She wore it around her neck. It was prestigious, you know, to have a gold thing, charm around her neck. It's about this big. And she got cancer and almost died. Another lady came up to us in the prayer group in California. She always come every week, and she was always black. Have you ever looked at people, and they just look dark? They got this dark cloud over them, and they're always down. So you have to pray them up, and pray them up, and we couldn't figure out. I mean, after you prayed a few times, you start wondering, well, what in the world is wrong with her? She'd come in, and she'd have all kinds of problems. And I don't mean that you are all exempt from problems. We have all kinds of problems, but we have to overcome them, and then when we overcome them, we shouldn't get back in that same problem. If you do, you're like the dog going back to its vomit. So, I was giving a testimony about a Buddha, some deliverance about a Buddha, and we had never had any teaching much on it at all. And she said, well, I didn't know they were wrong. She said, we went to the Buddhist temple in Los Angeles, and we paid $1, and we bought our souls. No, this one was in L.A., her and her husband went down and paid $1 for their souls so they'd be sure and get it to heaven. They had that in their house. So we could pray for her, and she'd get a little bit of victory, and then she'd go back home, and she'd come back the next week, and it looked like worse shape sometimes. Well, this one about Saigon, this little boy would wake up every night about 2:30 screaming, and he wasn't hardly big enough to talk, but he would say, see, and just shake all over and scream. And he did it every night and every night and every night. And we met him only twice. We met him. She came in our bookstore once in California, and then I invited her to a prayer group, and they came to a prayer group, and they wanted us to pray for this little boy. Well, the prayer group was at somebody else's house, and it didn't go that direction that night. So we went out in the front, walked out to the cars with them, and we took hold of their hands, and we prayed for this child. And the very next morning, I was washing the dishes in the kitchen. It was Sunday morning, and I heard the voice. I heard the voice of the Lord. And it was clear as a bell. He said to me, did you ask those people if they have a Buddha in their house? I answered him out loud. I answered the Lord out loud when he speaks to me sometimes. I said, no, I didn't ask them. He said, I want you to ask them. Well, I didn't even know anything about Buddha. I'd never even heard it preached about or anything. And I tried to find their phone number. They had a very strange spelling name, and I couldn't find it in the book. And I had to wait till I went to the office on Monday morning to the bookstore, and I had it on my pad. She had given me her phone number. And so I called her, and I said, do you have a Buddha in your house? She said, oh, yes, we have one we brought home from Saigon. It's all jade, and it's about 3 foot high, and we have it in our front hall. And I said, that's what's the matter with your child. Evil spirits would come out of that Buddha and frighten that child in the night, shake it, wake it up, and it would actually see. You know, little children have more perception than we grown-ups many times, and they can see things. And so I told her, I said, you know, you'll have to get rid of that and pray against that. That's a false god. And she said, oh, my, we couldn't. We paid too much money for it. See that old, the root of all evil, the love of money? I said, well, she said, well, we'll sell it. And I said, do you want that to go into another person's house and keep their child awake all night? Well, no. So they waited about 3 days, and then she called me up, and she said, well, my husband is angry, but he's decided he will pound it up out in the alley. So he pounded it up, and then they said, what do we do now? And I said, well, you walk through the house, you command the evil spirit to get out, that false god to get out, that antichrist spirit to get out in the name of Jesus, and go in every room and command it to leave. That child never woke up again in the middle of the night. You see, it works. And you think that's so stupid. I can do anything in my own house. That's right, you can. That's right, you can. But it's going to affect maybe your children and other people. God constantly told his people not to take up with ways of the heathen. Do you think America has taken up with ways of the heathen? You can hardly buy anything anymore made in America. They're starting to see the light and start, because many things are dedicated to the Lord. We had a woman here last summer. She went to a house sale, you know, a, what do you call them, lawn sale or something, and she bought a picture. Well, she looked at the picture and she thought, I want that. That's the lust of the eye, you know, right away. Well, that's a nice picture. And then she walked around a while and she thought, no, I don't need that picture. That was the Holy Spirit saying, you don't need that picture. And she thought, oh, well, that's just me. And she went back and she bought the picture. And she'd put it up on her wall, and she'd walk through that room and she'd feel so strange. And one day she took it down and examined it. And under the brown, heavy paper that's on the back of a picture, it said, Buddha is my Lord. Or Satan is my Lord. I can't remember. Which one was it, Patty? Satan is my Lord or Buddha is my Lord? Some of you women that was up in that prayer group upstairs is when we... Can you believe that? See, that was dedicated to the enemy. And she brought it into her house. In the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, it says, don't bring any abominable thing into your house. And it's going to affect you. We had another man come here for help. Two radio announcers. The one was a real good Christian. He was a Nazarene boy and very lovely. And the other boy was had epilepsy real bad. And this Christian was trying to lead him to the Lord, and he knew he needed prayer. And we said, how long have you had that? And he said, well, I was fine. I went in the Navy, and I was over in Hawaii. And one night, they were going to have a native bone dance. Have you ever heard of those? I'd never heard of it before. So he went to this native bone dance where they have all these drums and horrible rock beats that we know today. And they had a fire, and they played these drums around. And he was standing way over by a tree, but he's watching all this go on. See, the Bible says avoid all appearances of evil. And that means all. A-double-L is all. Avoid all appearances of evil. But he went to that. He didn't have any business being there, but he went. He wanted to see what they do at a bone dance. You know what happened? A whole bunch of skeletons came right up out of the ground and danced all around there. And it frightened him so bad, he left. And that night he started having seizures, and he'd had them all ever since. Avoid all appearances of evil. All appearances of evil. Eastern religion, yoga. We've had many families here brought children here for deliverance because of having their babies lamas. Lamas is Eastern religion as much as Buddhism is, or yoga, or anything else. It is a type of yoga. We had articles on it. They're all out of print. We've got to reprint them. And, of course, owls. We had a tremendous deliverance here with a lady that had a lot of owls in her house. And frogs. Owls are used in Halloween celebrations, and that's the witch's feast. You can celebrate Halloween if you want to, but no more. It's not for Christians. We've got to shape up and get out of all these traditional things. Owls are creatures of the night. They don't belong in our houses. Owls and skulls are always used for Satan worshipers. They had we've had a lot of Satan worshipers in this state. And they had a big picture of these Satan worshipers, and they had this big skull with an owl sitting on top of it. We had a family that came here and told about their Baptist pastor's wife. She made ceramic owls, and she just waned away, and her strength was sapped, and she died. Jackson, Mississippi, they came up to us at the book table where I was running the book and tape table, and this girl was crying, and she'd read an article about having owls and frogs in your house and abominable things. And she said, you know, I never was sick in my life. She was a beautiful girl, about 38. But she says, I started going to ceramic classes, and I made beautiful owls and had them in my home. And she says, I didn't know about it, but she said, I have a cancer growing up like a little tree at the base of my brain, and they tell me it cannot be operated on. It will be fatal. Our own niece. You see, you can have one or two happenings, but I'm reiterating what I have seen. Like Paul said, I'm going to tell you what I've seen. He was telling Agrippa what he has seen and what he has heard. Our own niece in California. I had heard she was sick, and you know, when we're way back here, and we go out there once a year, and we usually see her dad, who is Glenn's brother, and they're in their home, but not all, they have six, they're all married, and we don't always see all of them, and they told me, Jeannie is sick, she's real sick, she needs prayer, so we were praying about it, and the next year, I believe, we went, and she came into her mother's house. I looked at her, and I says, honey, what in the world is the matter with you? She says, I don't know, Aunt Irma. She weighed 60-some pounds. Her face was no whiter than that. It was just bones. Her whole body, just nothing to it. And her little girl come carrying in, a little girl about, well, I don't know, 13, blue glazed owl about this tall with wooden spoons in it for the kitchen. I said, oh, Jeannie, honey, that's what's wrong with you. Are you making those? She said, oh, yes, I sell them as fast as I can get them made. I said, honey, that's what's making you sick. And I started talking to her and telling her not to bring abominable things into her house. And her own mother, we grew up together. Her father was an Assembly of God minister 25 miles away from where my dad pastored. And we grew up together. And her mother said, oh, honey, don't pay attention to Aunt Irma and Uncle Glenn. They're always in some cult of some kind. So, and she started to cry. Her mother started to cry, and the girl started to cry. And she had some kind of very bad colon trouble. Well, she started writing to us, because that she'd get that back in her mind, you know. I shouldn't have this in my house. I shouldn't be doing this. And so she wrote to us, and I would write her back, and I sent her the article on having owls and frogs. You know what frogs are a symbol of, don't you? Unclean spirits. And Brother Pittman has a tremendous book on, it's called Demons, I think is the name of it. And he shows what the Lord showed him when he was caught away to heaven and died that time, was caught away to heaven. The Lord showed him this demon of unclean spirits in this frog. This girl went out for her lunch. She met a guy on the street. They started to talk, and here's this huge, big frog crawling up between them. Lust, uncleanness. We have a lot of lust and uncleanness in the body of Christ. We have a lot of sexual troops going through, and it's not a nice thing to talk about. I know it isn't nice, but it's here. It's right in here today, and I know you've kept it covered. But it has to be repented of. It has to be brought out into the light. And the Lord wants to set you free, because it will torment you and torment you and torment you. There's all kinds of sexual sins and sensuality sins. It goes all the way from fornication. If you have committed fornication, there's a wonderful book back there by Patty King, our secretary, that gave a study on it, and we put it into print. You need to read it. Flee from fornication. If you've committed fornication before you were married, you need deliverance. If you've committed adultery since you've been married, you need deliverance, because those spirits will keep cropping up. Why do you think preachers preach for 30 years and then go wrong? See, there's a seed in there. There's a root in there that must come out. It must be cast out, or it's going, could happen to any of us. Any kind of a spirit that you leave in you when you know better and you haven't repented and you haven't had it cast out of you. It's good. Masturbation is another one. Oral sex is another one. What's some more, brother? You'll probably teach on that this afternoon. Sexual sins. I was hoping you would, because it's many people have come up to me here. They don't want to do these things, but they find themselves right back doing them again. And it takes a thorough repentance. You must repent. You must ask for the precious blood. You see, these things, you sin once, that might not be too bad. You sin twice, you go out with a girl and commit fornication, you sin again and again and again, and pretty soon you've got a nest in here. And Satan can hit you in that nest any time he pleases. He can bring his friends right in. And that will thwart your marriage, that will thwart your peace, that will thwart your whole being, and it could drive you to destruction and hell. Flee from fornication. Flee from adultery. Flee from divorce. Flee from masturbation. Flee from sensuality. Flee from all these things. I'm not going to go into it, but Brother Moody will teach on it. Flee from rock music. Flee from it. It's going to wreck your minds. It's going to hurt you. And if you've been one that listened to a lot of rock records, Christian rock and otherwise, it's going to hurt you. Now, I know we talk about it around here, and I know the young people don't like to hear it, but it's still going to hurt you. And if you sneak around and listen to it, it's going to spoil your spirituality, and it's going to be like a termite in there, eating and eating and eating, and it's going to hurt you. I don't want to stand at the judgment bar and have you boys and girls stand up to me and say, you never told me, because it's going to hurt you. Now, you can waste money on those records if you want to, but it's going to hurt you. Spiritually, it can even drive you crazy. You can go into insanity mighty quick, and it will thwart your spiritual life. You'll never be a total witness for Jesus if you play that rock music. And I'm not going to say any more about that, but it needs to be said over and over and over again. All of these things. In the last chapter, or the second chapter of the book of Joel, says, see how the enemy's coming in? He doesn't like what I'm saying. I know he doesn't, but we're going to go right on. We're going to go right on fighting it, because it is wrong. And if you don't want to listen to somebody that has had experience, then listen to the Holy Ghost down in the side of you. Listen to the Holy Spirit down inside of you. You know, after you've lived as long as Glenn and I, and seen as much as we have seen, we do know a little bit about what is good for you and what isn't good for you. And you listen to the Holy Ghost down inside of you. You listen to the Lord. And look at Joel 2. We're coming into the most wonderful days, the days of the remnant. The days of the remnant. The Lord says, I'll show wonders, 30th verse, second chapter of Joel. I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. We've seen all that. When they shoot off those rockets, we see those long pillars and spirals. We used to watch them where we lived in Los Angeles. You could see them way up the coast. They'd shoot those things off about sunset. And they'd make these big, beautiful plumes. And I would look at this scripture and think about it, that Joel saw this. He couldn't fathom what he was really seeing, but he wrote it down. He saw this in a vision. And he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit up there a little above it, on all flesh. Well, we're seeing more all flesh receiving the Spirit, aren't we, now, we've ever seen. And I'll pour it out on my servants and upon my handmaidens in those days will I pour out my Spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. We're seeing that blood and fire and pillars of smoke. We see that with the astronauts. The sun shall be turned into darkness. And I don't imagine that's the only way we're going to see it in the heavens. But that the astronauts are a good example of it. And the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes. Now, you people that are looking to be raptured out any moment, I pray to God you'll take a second look in the Bible. I dare say right now, and I'm not condemning you, and I'm saying it to myself, he's coming after a church without spot or wrinkle. Now, if any of you qualify for that, fine. But I'm afraid there won't be too many people go. Too many spots and wrinkles. The Lord is doing, taking us out of us. The last verse. It shall come to pass that, I think it's the last, yes, it's the last verse on my page. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. How many know we're walking up to Zion, the high peak? We're walking towards Zion. We've met a man recently, elderly man. I call him elderly. He's about 4 or 5 years younger than Glenn and I. But he's had a lot of experience in intercession and praying. And he's been writing to us for a few months. He writes to Glenn. And we didn't know who he was. And his letters are very spiritual and very helpful and full of wisdom. And so when we were in California, we went to see him in San Clemente. And since we've been home, he's called us several times because he said it was one of the highlights of his life when he met us. He said some lady, he doesn't even remember her, down in San Antonio, gave him one of our magazines and he read it. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, they are part of the remnant. And he started writing to Glenn, and he didn't know that he would ever meet us. It was almost like we almost didn't see him, only the Lord's hand. His office was supposed to be on the second floor of this office building, in office C or D or something. And we went up there and knocked, and there was nobody in the office. Well, it was about 1:10, 15 minutes after 1, so we thought, well, maybe he's out to lunch yet. So Glenn said, I'm going to go and call him at his home, but we didn't have a phone number. And so Glenn went downstairs, and as I was coming by the stairs, I saw the restroom, and I went in. So when I came downstairs, I didn't know where Glenn was, and I went into an office, and I said, is my husband in here phoning? And she said, no. Then I went to the next office, real estate office, no. And then I went back to the same office again. I said, would you happen to know Mr. So-and-so? She said, oh, yes, he just moved down to the office next door here. He's on the first floor now. So I couldn't imagine where Glenn was. He finally came back, and he said, well, he doesn't have a phone. I guess we'll have to go. And I said, well, no, he's right in here. And it took Glenn a few wheels to turn. I said, he's right in here. So finally Glenn came up from the car and stood up there, and I said, either knock on the door or let's open the door and go in. So we knocked or something, and anyway, his son-in-law was in there, and he let us in, and they had this office, and so he started to just speak the word of the Lord to us, just with an anointing. And we just sat there while he spoke to us. And the Lord has called him to be an intercessor for the remnant. And he says, I met many of them, and I pray for them all the time. And he called us, day before yesterday in the morning, he wanted to talk to both of us. He wanted to tell us some things. And he told us some real words of wisdom that the Lord had spoken to him about us. Now, we can either receive it or we can check it out. It wasn't anything real colossal, but it was pretty meaningful to us. You see, prophecy comes to confirm something to you. If the Lord's already dealing with you, and a prophet of God comes in and begins to prophesy to you, then you know that the Lord is speaking through that man. And we knew the Lord was speaking through that man. And see, he talked about the remnant all the time, this man does, and talking about Zion. And he told us a story, a vision that the Lord had showed him about the top of Zion and this train that was going up to Zion and the people on it. And it was very enlightening. And I'll leave that to all the theologians. Tommy is very good about Zion, and so is Jack Harris, excellent on teaching about Zion and on the remnant. But God is preparing an army, and he's preparing a people. But this army is going to have to be total obedient to what he speaks. And we're going to have to hear his voice like last night. How many was prayed for last night to hear the voice of the Lord? Wasn't that precious? That was wonderful. It was wonderful. And we need more of that. We need more prayers like that. More laying on of hands to impart the gifts of the Spirit. We need more of that. And we need a lot more deliverance. Now, you can get by with me, you can get by with Brother Goodson, you can get by with all your pastors, but you can't ever get by with God.
Hallelujah.
He sees you. He knows your motives, he knows what's making you perk, and he knows what your failings are. How many here would like some deliverance this morning? Do you think we should have a mass deliverance, or you said we'll have a mass deliverance? I don't know if the workers are ready or not, but we're going to come against listening to rock music. We're going to come against all kinds of idolatry, hero worship. You know, there are some people that won't listen to any preacher, but this is their one. They have hundreds of tapes. Somebody called me the other day, and they said, we've got 100 tapes that we're listening to of one person. Well, that would get a little boring after a while, I know, but that's the only person. They don't want to go to any meetings or anything. They're just listening to this one person's tapes. We need the whole fivefold ministry, don't we? You'll never get perfected in a church if you never have evangelists in, if you never have prophets, if you never have apostles or teachers. If only the pastor preaches to you every Sunday. You will never be perfected, because God sent the fivefold ministries to perfect the church and the heirs of salvation. Are we heirs of salvation?
Yes.
We can go namby-pamby along, but we've got to face the Word of God. We need evangelists. We need teachers. We need pastors. We need apostles. And we need prophets. We don't need false prophets. We don't need, I hate for them to come in here and say, I'm an apostle, and they flaunt themselves around. I can't stand that. I know they're not. You know, their words speak louder than what they say they are. But I love the true Holy Spirit of God. And if you tune in to the Holy Spirit and see what the Spirit is saying, the Holy Spirit will speak and say, that is right, or that is wrong. Your bells will start going off in you if you hear something that's not right. And you go home and check it out. Check it out. We've got all this big squabble going on with ministries. And I'm not going to address that, but if you have very much discernment, you can see what's behind it all. The termites crept in. It's not only in one, it's in many of them that are raising their voices. But we want here, we want deliverance. We want to see you helped. I want to see you helped today. I want to see you helped this afternoon. I want to see you helped tonight. I want to see you helped tomorrow. I don't want you to waste all your money coming here and not get what you wanted. And I know many of you have come up to me. And I know many of you have serious cases that you don't feel you can bring it out here in this public meeting. And we will talk about it, all ladies upstairs, this afternoon. And I hope Earlene will be up there with us. And then Jean and Earlene will speak this afternoon and teach deliverance. And they're very dedicated people. They're like us. We were consultants in the aerospace industry. They're consultants in the engineering on wrecks, airplane wrecks, and all kinds of car wrecks, all this stuff. He's a consultant. How many knows that God can use all of you? We're all able ministers, the Bible says. If there was any one thing I used to say, and I used to mean it, and I still do, that I didn't want to ever be married, I would never marry a preacher. I had enough of it, living in a parsonage. But we have the ministry of helps. So does Earlene and Jean. The ministry of helps. Brother Goodson, the ministry of music. Ministry of helps. All of you can help. You can be faithful in helping. You can be faithful in helping. If you can't be faithful, you'll never get to Zion. You'll never make it up there. There's the called and there's the chosen, and then there's the faithful. If you can't be faithful to anything that the Lord asks you to do, you may as well just quit. You're spinning your wheels. There's many called, there's many chosen, but it's the faithful. It's going to rise to Zion. It's going to rise up in the Spirit. And every one of you are capable. You have to set your will against the enemy. You have to set your will against evil. You have to set your will against all things that are false. And come to the knowledge, the mind of Christ. And we are far from perfect. We were down at Moody's recently. And we asked them, would you pray for us and go back 400 years... And I don't mean pull out all this stuff because we don't even know what it was. For the curse of the bastard. Because they got that revelation. And believe it or not, things come out of us, didn't they? That's right. Incest goes back for 400 years. You may have never committed incest, but how do you know it's not in there? You're going to keep cropping out. There's a lot of good books back there. There's a tremendous book on karate for you young people that have ever had karate, or anybody in this audience that's ever had karate. You need deliverance from it. It's violence. There's a book back there on fornication that I talked about. There's two books by Tommy Cook, and we got The Curse of the Bastard that we took off of their tape, and they added some to it. All of these things is going to help you. Right now, the article on incest is out of print, but we're trying as fast as we can. We have so much work to do that it's hard for us to get all these things typed up. We got them. I must have 20 notebooks full of things that the Lord has given us over the years that you have to go back and you forget. We had a girl here recently. I know you can't believe this. She come from university, her boyfriend and her roommate. I have never seen anything like it in my life. She was a beautiful girl. I was uptown when she came, and when I came home, it was kind of cloudy outside, and it was kind of dark. And I came in here in Patty, and her boyfriend, this girl. Oh, they were sitting in here, and when I walked in the door, she jumped up and ran and came up here and sit. And I said, why is all the lights out? So I turned, I like light. I don't can't stand any darkness at all. I don't want darkness. I want the light. So I turned on the light, and I come up here, and I says, and she had on black glasses. You couldn't see her eyes. Satan never wants you to see his eyes, the people's eyes. That's where the enemy, you can discern by their eyes. And I said to her, well, honey, why don't you come back here and sit with us? And she said, no, I don't want to. And I said, what is your name? And she gave me her name. She had nine different people in her, nine different personalities, and they all knew about it. They were just worldly kids. She didn't know where she's coming. They brought her here because when the roommate went home one day, the mattress got up off the bed and slammed into this roommate, and the pictures fell off the wall. And she knew from an old lady that gets our magazine, and she told this old lady about it, and this elderly lady over in, where were they, Alabama or Mississippi? They were from University of Mississippi. They told her about us, and this other girl, the roommate, called, and she told me all about this, and I said, well, you need help. She said, I know we do. So she said, when can we come? And I said, well, you want to come next weekend? Well, yes, maybe. So then they didn't come. And then she called again, and they wanted to come on Friday. So I said, well, all right. You come Friday afternoon and stay Saturday and Sunday. Okay. Well, this girl had been into everything. She had an engineer in her. And she could work engineering problems at the university. She was a whiz-bang at it. Yeah, they brought her to the Pentagon to talk with her and hired her there as a summer job. She had a little girl spirit. She would try to sit on my lap and hold my hand and pat me on the face. And they'd give whatever the little girl's name, she'd be that person for a while. And she was many different people. And, I went out of the room or something, to see about fixing dinner or doing something and in the kitchen. And when I came back, I had missed something that she had told them. So I didn't know about this. And so when we began to pray, we had a hard time with her even getting her to sit down and let us pray. She didn't know what any of this was all about. And I felt sorry for her because, you know, I couldn't understand, didn't know what was going on. But when we prayed for her, her father used to molest her, and he used to take her to the woods, South Louisiana, and kill little animals and get their blood and tell her that if she would drink this blood with him, that he would not be so sexually driven for her and her sisters. He promised her he'd leave her sisters alone. She was only about 13 or 14, and she did it. So when we begin to pray, Patty, or I guess it was Patty, had heard her say that she had done all this, but I didn't know it. So when we began to pray, and Patty came against drinking of blood, you know how it manifested? A great pool of red blood just threw it up. And I was a little startled, you know. I hadn't heard the beginning of it, but there's many people that drink blood in these rituals, Satan worshipers. And I know it's weird, it's terrible, but she talked to me about it later. She called me and she said, after she left here, she got better each day. Of course, she's far from delivered, but she's so much better, she thinks she's all delivered, you know. But she called and she told me, we got so much peace in our apartment and in school. And you see, it's worth it all. It's worth all the trials and hardships here. Just to have somebody like that is so demented and so gross, and yet the Lord Jesus loves them and reaches his hand down to deliver them, to set them free out of the hands of the enemy into the presence of Jesus. It was all new to her. And she called me recently and she said, I want to come back up again. But it's a long ways over here. It's like all day almost to drive over here. And her boyfriend calls me all the time. We've given them lots of tapes and lots of books to read to see what they're really into. And the Lord is going, as you intercessors think about this story, you pray for that girl. She's a beautiful girl. She's a beautiful girl. But all kinds of horrible witchcraft phenomena has happened to her. Let's pray. I can feel the Holy Spirit just coming down now upon us. It's the name of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that's going to set us free. It's the blood of Jesus. He died not in vain, but he died for all of us, that we might be free from all these evil things that Satan would put on us, all these horrible things that have crept in through our bloodlines. And he wants to set us free. He wants to set us, he wants to change our lives. Every day, he's changing me. We can sing that song, but let's let him change us today. Let's repent. You pray with me. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We're needy peoples.
I need
deliverance. I need your precious blood to cleanse me from all these sins. These sins that I've inherited through no doing of my own. These sins that I have committed that thwart my mind and my spiritual life. All the sins of the occult that our fathers have engaged in, or our mothers, back to four generations. We ask you to cleanse our blood that has not been cleansed and deliver us. We ask you to deliver us from idolatry, all the lust of the eye, all these things that we want. That's not good for us. I want to be forgiven. I want to be cleansed.
I want to be set free.
I want to be delivered. I don't want to live like I am today.
I want to
go home a vibrant Christian. And your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
We need deliverance from diseases.
You bore those diseases
for us. You bore those stripes that we might be healed.
You died on a tree
that we might be free from curses.
All the curses that we brought on ourselves
by not paying our tithes.
By not giving you glory.
For leaning on the arm of flesh.
We need forgiveness, Lord Jesus.
We need your precious blood
to wash me.
Wash my mind.
Cleanse my mind.
Cleanse my subconscious.
Cleanse me of sins that I don't even know about.
Cleanse me from all of the sexual sins.
And deliver me from those.
I thank you, Lord,
for truth,
for light.
I thank you for knowledge.
Because if it were the devil's way,
he would destroy us all.
We want knowledge, Lord.
We want the gift of knowledge
and the words of wisdom.
We ask for the discerning of spirits.
Teach us, Lord.
Help us not to depend on others all the time to pray.
Help us to pray.
Awake us in the night.
And cause us to have a real spirit of prayer and intercession.
For God's people.
And all of our young people.
That need so much help.
That have so many temptations.
Cleanse me from thoughts of suicide.
Cleanse me from all the parts of the occult that we've indulged in.
Or water witching we've inherited.
All of these things.
We ask for deliverance.
And we ask for the precious blood
to cleanse us.
Now just let the blood of Jesus flow down over you.
You must forgive everyone.
If you don't forgive people, you're never going to be forgiven.
Jesus said, I won't forgive you
if you don't forgive others that hurt you.
It's hard, but you have to do it.
It's one of the prerequisites of deliverance.
Allow the blood of Jesus to flow down over you.
If you feel you have a spirit of unforgiveness, when the workers come through, ask them to pray. I know that people have hurt you, your parents have hurt you, your teachers have hurt you, your bosses have hurt you, but you must forgive them. Your wives have hurt you, your husbands have hurt you, but you must forgive them. Because Jesus says, I'll send you the tormentors. And I would say 98% of the body of Christ have tormentors. We all have them to an extent. Allow the blood of Jesus to flow. Allow the blood of Jesus to flow. Allow the blood of Jesus to flow down. If we had more repentance, we would have less and less have to have deliverance. But we haven't really learned how to repent. Be sorry and turn from our wicked ways and go the other way. The Lord is good. Can you feel the flow of the blood of Jesus? I feel the Holy Spirit. He's applying the blood of Jesus to many of you. Some of you are unconcerned. Some of you are passive. But it's time we all awaken out of our slumber and out of our sleep and come to the realization that we need more than we've got. We're against the wall. We've gone as far as we can go that God will take us until we repent and get more deliverance. It's an everyday affair. You say, well, I got prayed for 5 years ago. I'm all delivered. Well, praise the Lord. I doubt it. I doubt it. We need more and more. Just let the blood, just let the Holy Spirit's doing a mighty work in here to a lot of you. Let the blood of Jesus be applied. Apply to these sins. Forgive. Forgive those that hurt you. And now we're going to come against these spirits that I've discussed. This is only going to be the beginning. We will do it again at 1 o'clock. We'll discuss more. If you have questions about any of these things, then you can bring them up in the men's meeting. And then the Moody's will be teaching this afternoon, and we'll have more deliverance. I don't want anybody to go away from here and saying they didn't get enough deliverance, because here's your chance. Now, if you keep on praying and say, Jesus, 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 they won't come up and come out. The Holy Spirit came as wind on the day of Pentecost. The evil spirits come the same way. He mimics everything of God. They come as breath or wind. You start breathing out these evil spirits. I'm going to give the command, and Glenn and Brother Moody and some of the others will begin to start praying and binding. We bind the strong man right now over this meeting. I feel we had him bound before the service. I don't know if any of you are feeling, I don't feel interference up here. I feel many angels around me. I feel the Lord Jesus right here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every spirit of idolatry in this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind adultery. I bind sexual sins, all sexual sins. I bind all occult sins. I bind all powers of rock music. I bind all rebellion, which is witchcraft. You may not think you have rebellion, but you start asking the Lord, call on the name of the Lord to deliver you from rebellion and see how much you really have. There may be more in there than you think. In the name of Jesus, I bind, what was some of the others? Troops of suicide. I bind those in you. All these thoughts of suicide, wanting to end it all. That wouldn't be the end. That will be only the beginning of more trouble. Suicide is not the way out. What's some others? You think of some others that I called out? Rock music. Bind the powers of rock music in these young people. All back through the congregation. Rock music. If you've listened to a lot of rock music, if you've had karate in the army or anything, we bind those powers in Jesus' name. And we command you to begin coming out. What? All diseases of cancer, diabetes, all viruses, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Begin to breathe them out. Let them go in Jesus' name. Hate them. Hate them. Tell them they have to go. We have authority. We have all authority. He says, I give you authority over all the powers of the enemy. Over all the powers of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. That's right. That's right. Just bring them out. In the name of Jesus, all cancer come out in Jesus' name. All curses of death and spirits of death, I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of fornication and adultery, come out in Jesus' name. Masturbation, come out in Jesus' name. All you evil powers, come out in Jesus' name. All deafness, spirit of deafness, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of deafness, spirits of infirmity, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of infirmity, come out in Jesus' name. That's all right. Just start bringing them out. Who cares? We'll get our dignity back next week. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out of them. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. Come out of these young people in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of the occult. Spirits of the occult, come out in Jesus' name. I bind you. I bind you. Spirit of witchcraft, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of fortune-telling, come out in Jesus' name. You're a deceiver. You've been there too long. You're hindering these people. All cancer spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of cancer and diseases, incurable diseases, arthritis, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of arthritis, we claim healing in the name of Jesus. We claim healing in the name of Jesus. Spirits of rock music. Spirits of indifference. Spirits of passivity, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of passivity, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of drugs, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of cocaine, all kinds of drugs, sorcery, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of marijuana, come out of these people in Jesus' name. Come out. Come on out. Marijuana, karate, rock music, come out in Jesus' name. You're a deceiver. You must leave. Spirits of cocaine, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of marijuana, come on out in Jesus' name. You're a deceiver. Come out, marijuana. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Spirits of the bastard. Curse of the bastard, I break your chains off of these people in the name of Jesus. All incest, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all kinds of habits, smoking, drinking. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind your power. I bind your power. Come out in Jesus' name. We have authority over you in Jesus' name. Jesus promised to deliver us if we call on the name of the Lord. We call on the name of the Lord to deliver us in the name of Jesus. All deafness and blindness, come out. Come out of the eyes in Jesus' name. All lust of the eye, come out in Jesus' name. Lust of the eye, come out in Jesus' name. Lust of the eye, come out. All spirits of Lamaze, of having Lamaze or yoga exercises, come out in Jesus' name. Yoga exercises, Lamaze, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All rebellion, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Bad dreams, nightmares and bad dreams, come out in Jesus' name. All the nightmares of fear, fear, come out. Fear, come out in Jesus' name. Fear, come out in Jesus' name. All fear. Perfect love, Jesus casts you out. Perfect love casts out all fear. I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. Helia, my son, in Jesus' name. Come out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Lesbianism, come out in Jesus' name. And homosexuality, come out. Come out, these people. Homosexuality and lesbianism, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. You're a defeated foe. Come out in Jesus' name. We break the curse off of you. We break the curse off of you. All curses of homosexuality and lesbianism. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, these young people, in Jesus' name. Violence, come out. Violence. Hitting the walls. Getting angry. Throwing things. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of these young people in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer or help, just raise your hand and some worker will come to you. Some of your ministers help back there. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's somebody back in the back needs help. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke. Not only breaks it, it destroys it. In the name of Jesus, come out of these people. Let your Holy Spirit come down and deal conviction upon every one of us. Let conviction flow. Let conviction flow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.